This morning's title is Living and Loving the Questions, and I begin with a quotation. Be patient towards all that is unresolved in your heart, and try to love the questions themselves. They are like locked rooms, and like books that are now written in a very foreign tongue. Do not seek to know the answers which cannot be given to you, because you would not be able to live them. And the point is to live everything. Live the questions now. Perhaps then, gradually, without noticing, you will live along some distant day into the answer. And that's the end of the quotation. Those words are from a German poet, Rainer Maria Rilke. I came across them a few years ago, and when I first read it, they spoke to my Unitarian mindset. Unitarians love questions, questions about God, the nature of God, the purpose of life, and the great mystery of death. And these were questions I loved. I joined this church because of its honesty in admitting that we don't have all the answers. That is one thing that drew me to this place. As one summary of Unitarianism puts it, Unitarians know that we don't even know all the questions, not to talk about answers. Unitarianism is a minority religion, and I believe that one reason for this is that we do not and cannot offer certainty. Every other religion say with conviction that their faith has all the answers and their answers are the correct ones. I found living with these questions invigorating. I want to know about other faiths. I love to trace the threads they have in common. And I love the freedom we have to take from each only the elements that speak to me as being truthful and useful. I realize that I may be in a minority and that what most people want from religion is certainty, while the only answers Unitarians have is more questions. Questions and possibilities, as well as great coffee and, I think, really interesting company at the coffee. However, life is a learning process, and illness has taught me and brought me to a new perspective on Rilke's words. And for me, this is a tough lesson. I'm still in the process of coming to terms and negotiating my way to answers. Unlike Rilke's question, these questions have a nasty habit that they never sit quietly in the back of the mind. They're always there, ready to take flight and seemingly to multiply. What I have been thinking about is this. I've come to realize that I was born under a very lucky star. My childhood was not a golden period in my life. There were family bereavements at a young age. I wasn't born into wealth or privilege. But my childhood gave me a great deal of resilience. I was given the gift of good health, adequate intelligence, and born at a time when Ireland began to move towards a more meritocracy in its society. And a good education opened many doors for me. And my adult life has been very stable and very happy. I believed that if I applied myself, there would be very little I could not achieve. And probably like most people, I imagined myself aging gracefully in reasonable comfort, and there would be years into the distance. But life has more lessons for me, and one of those is living with uncertainty. Hospital visits, consultants' appointments, tests, waiting for results of tests. Friends, of course, all seem to be planning holidays, extensions to their homes, the new kitchen, changing the bathroom. And when I hear that, I find myself going, ouch. Can I go back to the other, more familiar, easier questions? Because the current questions are not easy, and I certainly don't love them. So I have learned that my enjoyment of living with questions is selective. And I may throw a tantrum because of the situation, but I come back and the questions are still there. And then I come to those things that I realize that the only freedom I have is how I try to live the questions. Will I one day learn to love the questions? The jury's still out on that one. But the good news is that the questions teased out in this community, the readings I have heard, are all pointers that help deal with those questions. And here are a few pointers that I have found useful. The interesting thing about finding useful pointers is, maybe this is just me, but I have to keep reminding myself of them. I can actually get into situations where I forget to use the useful pointers, and then you go back to them and say, yeah, I should remember that. That is really useful. When the questions pile up, it's easy to forget those pointers, and you need to go back. And two of my favorite ones are Rumi and Hafiz. They're always go-to for me. Hafiz's quotation from one of his poems is, "The place where you are right now, God circled on a map for you." Now, I find this helpful. Not that I think for one moment that there is some being called God up there somewhere drawing circles on maps for me or anyone else. But I do believe that there is purpose to everything that happens in life. Whatever happens to me is my destiny. Now, be that God circles or me deciding before I was born that I needed to learn these lessons, it doesn't matter. It's just, this is life, this is what helps me, this is what I need to deal with. So I try to take something positive from the experience. I try to remember to make every moment the best moment it can be. We can never repeat any moment. And we don't have to think beyond it. And that is where we make a lot of our mistakes, thinking beyond this present moment. We just need to be present in this present moment. Rumi's poem, The Guest House, has always been a favorite with me. It's a reminder, again, as Sister Stan said, how your mind changes from moment to moment. And the poem reads like this. "This, being human, is a guest house. Every morning a new arrival. A joy, a depression, a meanness. Some momentary awareness comes as an unexpected visitor. Welcome and entertain them all, even if they're a crowd of sorrows who violently sweep your house empty of its furniture. Still, treat each guest honorably. He may be clearing you out for some new delight. The dark thought, the shame, the malice, meet them at the door laughing and invite them in. Be grateful for whatever comes, because each has been sent as a guide from beyond." Just to repeat those last three lines, be grateful for whoever comes, because each has been sent as a guide from beyond. This is my reminder that every experience has a purpose. and every experience will pass in time. Hafiz and Rumi were from the Islamic tradition, but they echoed the teaching of the Buddha, who lived so much before they did, who said that the nature of life is change, and we suffer because we refuse and resist living this truth. We don't want change. We want some things to stay the same. We want some things, selective things, to change. We don't accept that everything changes. As in Sister Stan's reading, if we take even 5 minutes of reflection, we can see how our thoughts change second by second. Rumi said, every morning there's a new arrival, but every second seems to bring a new arrival in our thinking. The Buddha thought that our suffering is intensified by how we label our experiences as being good or bad. I think we're all guilty of that. I hope that doesn't happen to me, or this doesn't happen, or I want something to happen. That would be wonderful. Rilke echoes the Buddha when he wrote, perhaps all the dragons in our lives are princesses who are only waiting to see us being beautiful and brave. We label things dragons or princesses, things we want, things we don't want. We have to stop labeling things. Resist labeling experience. They are simply an opportunity to learn and maybe practice being beautiful and brave. In this morning's reading, Sister Stan mentioned rainbow moments and how quickly something such as a rainbow can bring us to a joyful place. I think that was echoed in Janet's readings about being present in the woods. But I have learned that it is essential to make rainbow moments every day. I find most of my rainbow moments in the world of nature. The beauty of a flower, the smell of a rose, birdsong, all of them are rainbow moments. Another sure way to create a moment, a rainbow moment, is cultivating a sense of gratitude. There's nothing like being grateful and knowing what you're grateful for that brings a rainbow moment. Some people may be surprised when I say that it has never crossed my mind to pray for a cure. I do believe in a life force that I am happy to call God. I don't believe that this life force is there to selectively grant wishes and deny other ones. The idea that God at a whim answers prayer is for me a perversion of God. So it has never occurred to me to pray for cures, for anything. I do regularly ask for the grace to enable me to live the questions. In my experience, that type of prayer is of enormous benefit. And I think it's one of the things Unitarians find difficult if they hear somebody is very ill. Do you pray for them? I don't think praying for them to be cured works. That's my belief. Others may feel differently, but the prayer is never wasted if you put it in terms of praying that that person gets whatever they need, be it a kind word, meeting somebody, being cheered up, but whatever they need, that helps everyone. I find living with the question intensifies living itself. Before these questions came into my orbit, I think I spent a great deal of time living from habit. could nearly predict what I was doing from one day to the next. Now I have a greater appreciation for the gift of life. I'm still a long way from loving the questions, mind you. But I'm going to finish this address with another quotation from Rilke. He said, "Let everything happen to you, beauty and terror. Just keep going. No feeling is final. Let everything happen to you, beauty and terror. Just keep going. No feeling is final." Amen.